Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
By now, you've probably heard of acute flaccid myelitis, better known as AFM, that has hit children across the country with polio-like paralyzing symptoms. And here in Pittsburgh, the Allegheny County Health Department late yesterday announcing there were three more suspected cases to go along with the three confirmed cases. And I want to point out before we even start this conversation, Dr. Williams is coming on with the understanding that he cannot talk about the specific cases that are being treated at Children's Hospital.
We understand that, but Chief Division of Pediatric Infectious Disease at UPMC Children's Hospital of Pittsburgh, Dr. John Williams, good morning.
Good morning.
Do you understand that this scares the daylights out of mom and dad?
I do. As a parent and as a pediatrician for over 20 years, I understand. This is very scary. I think when parents hear things like paralysis and weakness, and young children, these are terrifying to all of us. I think people need to keep a couple of things in mind about that, though, and that's the rarity of these events. You just mentioned polio. 60 years ago, before the polio vaccine, which was, of course, invented by Dr. Jonas Salk at the University of Pittsburgh, there were 10 to 20,000 cases of paralysis a year in this country in young children. The cases now are less than one in a million. So it's a potentially serious disease, and it can have a serious effect on the children and families affected. We need to remember it's extremely rare.
That said, 90% are children. The average age is 4. What would parents look for initially? Because the common cold is just that. It's so common, and I understand it's out of that that these other symptoms present themselves.
That's what we think. In most cases of AFM, the CDC and we here and other doctors looking have not found a cause. But when we do find a cause, the most common cause are viruses. And just as you said, they are common cold viruses. And we all know, you know, how many colds and stomach viruses children get, and yet most of those don't turn into AFM. So what parents look for is not the cold or the stomach virus, the runny nose or cough or vomiting or diarrhea. We all see that in children all the time. But if you see a child who's having weakness, especially if it's in one arm or leg, a child who's having trouble feeding themselves or playing with toys with their arm, maybe they're not walking well, that's a sign of potential AFM, and then a parent should contact their healthcare provider.
You know, Doc, whenever you see this kind of thing, I think there's a natural tendency on the part of the parents to say, why my child? What did I do wrong that resulted in my child getting this awful situation?
It's a very natural question for every parent to ask, and I think we've all asked ourselves things like that. And the answer is, as far as we can tell, there's definitely nothing that parent did wrong. And we think it's probably just random why some children get it. You know, even during the days of polio, when I said there were those 10 to 20,000 cases a year, that was only 1% of all the children who were infected with poliovirus. So only a small fraction of children infected with these viruses develop these weakness and paralysis problems. We don't know why that is.
Are the effects, or is it too early to tell, permanent?
It's hard to tell, and it depends on each child and each case. Most children do make some improvement. Some make an excellent improvement. But just like with polio, there are some children who are left with long-term weakness, and the recovery and the rehabilitation can take weeks to months in some cases.
But we should point out that the times when this can be fatal are very, very even more rare than the disease itself, obviously.
That's exactly right. And that's in one way that it's not as bad as polio. Far more people died of polio. of AFM in the last couple of years. And reminding you, there's only been a small number of cases compared to the millions of children we have in the USA. In the last 4 years, only one child has actually died of AFM.
While we have you, Dr. Williams, last year we heard staggering numbers of flu incidents. 80,000, I believe, was the number of people who died from the flu. Obviously concerned with children this year. I know you recommend vaccinations for everyone for that, correct?
That's correct, and you couldn't make a better point about comparing risk. AFM is very scary, but it's extremely rare. As you just mentioned, flu, you know, tens of thousands of American children are hospitalized every year from the flu. Several hundred American children die of the flu every year, and most of these kids were previously healthy, and they were mostly unvaccinated. So, yes, the flu is a much greater risk to our kids than AFM, and I have four kids. They've all gotten a flu shot every year of their lives. I get a flu shot every year, and I recommend it for everybody.
Okay, so you can get a flu shot to protect yourself against the flu, but give us some sort of a takeaway of what you can do to protect your children from AFM.
Well, it's hard to protect kids from germs and viruses. They're a natural part of childhood, and everybody knows how often kids get sick, and it's part of building a healthy immune system along with vaccines. However, almost all germs are spread by hand contact, and so, you know, if somebody is sick, coughing or sneezing into their elbow is important instead of spraying those germs out into the room, and especially hand gel or soap and water. The way we spread these things is not from me coughing and sneezing in the middle of the studio. It's from me having a cold, I touch my nose, I shake your hand, you touch your nose, and now I've successfully infected you. You're welcome.
Yeah, that's always great. It seems, you know, repetitive, but yeah, that's absolutely true. I think we should outlaw handshakes and just do the fist bump. Dr. John?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Doc.
But no, I think we all should be careful about that. People don't realize this. Each of us touches our face about 2,500 times a day.
What?
Really?
Yes, people have measured this. We're not even aware of it, and we're constantly touching our face. I don't know, to make sure it's still there, to see if it's getting older. I'm not sure why, but so being aware of that, and just I carry a little thing, hand gel, with me everywhere. I'm not paranoid. I'm not afraid to touch people or, you know, to hug people, but I try to use my hand gel to keep my hands clean.
Great information, Doc. Thank you so much. Have a good weekend.
You're welcome. You too. Pleasure to be with you.
Dr. John Williams, Chief Division of Pediatric Infectious Disease, UPMC Children's Hospital of Pittsburgh.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.